Good morning. If it had been even 15 minutes early, I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway, but if it had been 15 minutes earlier, I was going to come and say, hello, sunshine. So we are grateful for the rain always, but we are really grateful for a little break from it right now for a multitude of reasons. For those of you who made your way from Sunday school this morning, you will notice that Noah came to visit us not once, but twice this week. We have had more flooding than I have seen in the years that I've been here. We are in the process of taking care of that, and hopefully we'll not have that issue ever again. And so, but if we will close these doors in a few moments so that the sound of those fans will not interrupt worship for us. Besides the flooding issue, another FL word, we have flowers this morning. These flowers were given in remembrance and thanksgiving for the life of Linda Ramey by her family. And they arrived this week, and they are beautiful, as was Linda. And we know that her soul is smiling down on the beauty that her family has given us this morning. Take a moment to look into the bulletins. I think perhaps one new announcement that you need to draw attention to is the start of a new young adult Sunday school class starting next week. And so if you are not attending a class at this point, we encourage you to do so, whether that's the Gleaners class, Fred's class. If you sing, come and join choir. But make Sunday a true day of holiness where you come and you spend as much time with God and God's good people as you can. I'll let you look at the other announcements. Our prayer list this morning, you see that in the bulletin. Also, an update on one of them. Last week we asked prayer for Helen, who is a friend of the Whitleys. They had had frozen lump and had diagnosed that it has come back non-cancerous, and we are grateful. Sometimes we only get to hear the other side of the story, so we are grateful for that answered prayer. But keeping with the Whitley family, Mr. Tom is going to have surgery, day surgery, on March 8th, and will be resting for about a week after that, I hear. And so please keep Tom and Melissa and the whole family in your prayers. I will add to those a couple. My sister, not my oldest sister, the sister that's closest to me, spent a couple of days in the hospital this past week. She had a TIA, and with our family history of strokes and heart disease and all kinds of things, just keep her in your prayer. She is doing fine, but as you would expect, a little bit worried, and so please keep her in your prayers. I know that there are others that are on our hearts today. Certainly, those who are experiencing the dangerous side of water and flooding. And then again, for those in the world who violence is just a way of life, we pray that we come to our senses at some point and we listen to the Lord and have peace among each other. I want to draw your attention to something that we don't look at very often. This morning, the sermon title is Gather, Grow, Go, which goes along with our stewardship, this theme, and the Great Commission. The second part of that is Come and Follow Me with Passion. With passion. And we'll hear more about that in a minute. But if you take a look at the front of your bulletin, there's an invitation from the Lord and from the good people of Eastminster. It's in there every week, and sometimes we don't draw attention to that, but we want to today. And that invitation from the Lord is that if you are not in a relationship, if you are not in a close relationship with the Lord, He is always beckoning to us to come and to follow with passion, to follow with peace. And here at Eastminster, if you are interested in becoming part of this community of faith, you will see the ways in which we do that. And I would be more than happy to visit with anyone who would like to do that. So, an invitation from the Lord, an invitation from us. As we, Jacob. In your power to create, to sustain, to enable. But we couldn't trust if we didn't know that you were always near. We know that. And so continue to be near us, Lord, as we have gathered here in worship today, giving you thanksgiving. And help us check our minds at the door. Let us open our hearts in this space. And enable us to bring all that we are to you so that we can truly experience your touch upon all aspects of our lives. May our worship be deep. May our prayers be thoughtful. And may our worship be joyful. We pray this because of and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please be seated. Together in worship, we face what we might not face alone. So we come to the one who pours forgiveness into our lives, praying together.
Lord, you know.
Let us open our hearts in prayer to hear the word of God. O God of restless souls and seekers, refresh us on our faith journey, trusting always that we are not alone, but that we travel in your company and the company of one another. Bless the ancient words of Scripture we will hear, so that their truth might bridge the centuries and find us here, now. This we ask in the name of our Lord and the presence of the Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today comes from Genesis chapter 17, 1 through 7. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you."
Your life for my sake.
And now those words so beautifully sung, we hear read from the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verses 31 through 38. Then he, meaning Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man would undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days would rise again. He said all of this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at the disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And then he called the crowds with his disciples, and he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and to forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The grass withers, but the word of our Lord lasts forever.
Thanks be to God.
It is good for us to remember that Jesus picked up his cross at a time when a cross was a very cruel and a very slow kind of death. Jesus willingly put himself on the cross so that he could set himself up against the people and the things of the world that were oppressing and pushing down and minimizing the life of those who were perhaps part of the Roman government or who were the temple holy or certain people who were living in a certain set of circumstances. Jesus willingly put himself on that cross to break those barriers between God's kingdom in heaven and God's kingdom on earth. For that, he died. And that is the gospel truth. When Mark tells us this truth some 40-ish years later, that barriers still exist. The temple is still under siege, or it's under siege again. The Jews are divided on whether or not they want to hold fast to their faith, whether they want to face death or perhaps fall in line with the Roman Empire. And the new followers of Christ are having to make that decision also, because with Jesus, their teacher, gone, do they go back to their temple days, or do they hold fast to their faith, knowing that there is a very real possibility that they also would face literal death on a cross? In this little part of the world, it was turning into an every person for self, and it was a mess. And while you and I might face physical death on the cross because of our belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, Mark offers us a new way of looking at the meaning of the cross. Because in all honesty, the reality of us physically being placed on a cross for the sake of the gospel isn't very high, at least not right now. But the results of not living daily with our lives turned to Jesus, when the heavy crosses of our own life weigh on our shoulders, and then also helping shoulder those heavy crosses and burdens of others, if we don't do that, it leads to another kind of death. We lose our heart, we lose our soul, we lose relationships. Each and every one of us comes at life, and we come at the meaning of the cross from varying perspectives. Our lives are like unfolding stories, and they are still unfolding. We have a past, we have a present, and most certainly we have a future. But what living in the shadow of the cross asks of us as believers is that we live not only in our own story, but that we live in the stories of one another, but first and foremost, that we live in the story of God's love for us, all of us, in the life of Jesus Christ. Our story is God's initiative. It is God's shaping. It is God's plan put into motion. We were created beings by the very breath of the Spirit of God. God put a plan together with Abraham and Sarah. What God said to Abraham that tested his human capacity was, he said, I am going to give you descendants like the stars. And Abraham and Sarah did what? They laughed. At our age, you got to be kidding. Truth is, you and I can laugh and we can be skeptical with them about anything big that God is putting before us. But we have a God who allows us to dream that big and to hope that big. What is not possible with us is possible with God. But just like Abraham and Sarah, our faith is also intertwined with some doubt. We're human. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says this about the Genesis passage and how God's promise to this faithful couple is still, to this day, transforming our future. He says, those barren at the beginning are fruitful at the end. Those abandoned have become cared for. Those displaced have found a home. And those alone have now come into covenant community. To live the life of faith is no longer just about me. It's not even about me and my Lord. It is about a relationship one with another. It is about our relationship together with the Lord. in our day and time? Can we be a family of faith who lives by the promises of God and not by the whims of the world? Absolutely, we can. But on our part, it takes that same kind of self-giving passion that the Lord had for us. And there's absolutely no doubt in my mind, I suspect in your mind, that each one of us as individuals, we want to have our lives mean something. We want to have purpose, and we're all hoping that the decisions that we have made and are making and will make will give us direction and the right direction. Today's lesson, Jesus hands that direction to us, to the disciples, to the crowds. He says that our identity and our purpose in life can be found in a nutshell. For those who want to save their lives, they have to lose them. But those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save them. We have this wonderful Lord, though, who doesn't force love. And so if you notice at the beginning of that passage, there is that conditional if you want to save your life. We have to decide if we are going to follow Jesus or not. And if we're really listening to the Word with a capital W today and every day when we open Scripture, we have to decide if we're going to follow with passion or if we're just going to be lukewarm. Jesus said, if you want a meaningful life, come and follow me with passion, and I will show you the way. Take up something great for the sake of building up God's kingdom. And yes, it might be heavy, but with my strength, we can carry it. And who knows more about carrying and heavy and strength more than Jesus? We can't live this Christian life without the cross. We can't be this faithful community that we call the church without the cross. Not that physical cross that is a symbol, a meaningful symbol. But what we cannot do is live without the meaning behind the cross. You and I would not have everlasting life without what happened on that cross. The thing is, the disciples who knew and loved their Lord deeply, says theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, he says, you know what? They didn't even know that the cross was going to be in their salvation plan. Why would we want, as the center of our faith, the symbol of a man slumped in death on a cross? Because it's not the end of the story. Not only do we have an empty cross, we have an empty tomb. Our Lord was once dead, has now risen again, and has given us the choice of new life through the gift of salvation. You and I know this. But each one of us has to decide how we're going to answer. God's charge isn't a demand for us to deny who we really are. It is an invitation to imagine us the self that God created us to be. We humans were created for relationship. We were created to be close to our Creator. We were created to be close to one another. And with the death of His only Son, God chose to continue that very human relationship of loving us humans. That is passion with a capital P, because God didn't have to do that. God chose to remain in partnership with us. We began the Lenten season on Ash Wednesday acknowledging what I think most of the world really doesn't want to hear anymore, that we're sinners. We are a whole world full of sinners. But we are forgiven sinners because of the promises of God, who created us to be good people, who offered us salvation in Jesus Christ, and who walks with us daily through the Spirit and promises us everlasting life. I truly believe that Jesus is asking of us with great passion to be passionate disciples who deny those things that break down relationships, that try to cut community short, that make you or me or even the church an island unto itself. Because of the way we were created, there is already this inborn passion within us to be community. And when we try to deny that, it's like the old saying that until we find our rest in God, we will not rest. God chose to remain connected to us humans that we are. And the invitation from our Lord continues today: come and follow me with passion. Deny yourself for my sake, and I will save you. Remain unto yourself, and it's a different story. I think there's a good question for us, for followers of Christ. I think perhaps even our whole world, to be contemplating this week longer. That question is, how will we die in our living every day for the sake of God's kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven? How do we need to die for the sake of the kingdom in order that we might live fully? Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith together.
Thank you.
This morning, we are going to try another prayer discipline, a prayer practice. If you want to take a moment to read through this, I did, and I simply jotted down some things that I wanted to ask. You can read and pray after each one of those, whatever is easiest and best for you. But this is simply a way of going through, thanking God, asking God to be near, trusting God will answer the prayers of your hearts. And so I invite us into a moment of prayer, and I will end with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together. Simple silence. You heard the prayers of our voices and our hearts this day. And we are grateful that we have that open-ended line that we can come and talk to you at any time about anything. And so, Lord, I ask that as you have heard the prayers of our hearts this morning, that you will, in your way, in your time, by your means, and for your blessing, answer those prayers. We are grateful, Lord, for those among us who are visiting with us today. May warm hospitality be what they feel when they leave, and not just ours, but yours, Lord. You are welcoming always. We pray for those, Lord, whose lives are nearing end. And just so, Lord, we pray for those who are waiting for little new lives to come into this world. For all who are ill in body, hurting in their souls, perhaps confused in mind, we ask, Lord, your healing presence with them. And we do this because our Lord has taught us that what we need, you provide. And so together we raise our voices with that prayer that the Lord has taught us, saying together,
Our Father,
Scripture says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Use it as good stewards of God's varied grace. May we receive God's tithes and our offerings.
Oh,
join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. God,
the invitation from the Lord this morning, come and follow me. Come and follow me with passion. And as we do, may the love of God enfold us. May the peace of Christ surround us. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with us, in us, and among us. Amen.